You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for July 5th, 2008.
Happy birthday, America.
There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, cracking my knees. Okay, you grin fox, you bunch of fucking monkeys. Pretty pictures, say what you're spacing.
Thank you for listening to the Cinemaniacs. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff. To my right is my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hey.
And with the Cinemaniacs is a weekly podcast that we talk about movie news, reviews, and whatever we choose. On this week's show, we're going to be talking about the movies Persepolis and The Contract. Up in news this week is actually kind of local here in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Village Roadshow is building a movie theater near Charleston and Rampart. Now, Village Roadshow Pictures, most recently known for Speed Racer and Get Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I Am Legend. I've always associated them with the Wachowski brothers.
Right.
But this Australian company, film company, has done so many big movies. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Miss Congeniality, Training Day, Ocean's 11. They're building a movie theater here in town.
That's exciting.
Very cool. Exciting.
Yeah, are they going to have like first like premiere movies and things
there? It's a big-time movie theater. Just like we have here in Las Vegas, we also have the Regal Cinemas, as well as Century Theaters. Well, now it's called Cinemark.
Right.
And it's going to be a luxury.
Yeah, that's what
so
I'd like to know.
Finally getting a luxury movie theater.
Luxury
here?
Movie theater.
The whole glass of beer thing, Jeff.
I'm telling you.
Go to our website and see the pictures, because these theaters, they have several of them in Australia, and they're opening a few here in the States. That the love seats, and not love seats, recliner chairs.
Yeah, that was the thing I noticed was the recliners. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, oh, we're very privileged then to have one here in
are.
Town. It is on the good side of town, so.
Jeff lived in Florida for a few years, and we went to that theater.
The premiere.
The premiere theater, and they had, like, love seats there. These are recliner seats.
Right.
You know, but it was like you can get shrimp, like big giant jumbo shrimp
or
there at the movie
plates. You could have fruit beer, wine, any kind of drink. Basically, it was this whole, the premiere theater had this whole kind of luxury concept for movie theater. You pay like double the ticket price. You get, you'd have to reserve it, of course. You get free valet parking, so you pull up, you valet your car. You go up to this escalator, and there's this, you know, the first thing you see around all your theaters, in the middle is this nice restaurant, upscale-looking restaurant. You go and you get your free popcorn. You pay double the price, ticket price, but you get free popcorn. But they also had, like, you know, the usual stuff, but then you could get beer and wine and shrimp cocktails and
condoms.
Well, Walt and I didn't need any, but
yeah.
So I'm hoping this Village Cinemas is similar to that. In fact, they have waiters that come out.
That's what you were reading to me before, and I was like, "Oh, this is pretty cool."
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, being it's not something you do every day, but you want something special, you know, something memorable for a particular movie or a date or something.
What movie
like that.
Did you see there when you went?
We saw Miami Vice.
Miami Vice.
Yeah, I've seen a few movies that way, and it's really cool. Their concept, though, was it was up in the balcony. So you'd be, like, in one of their bigger theaters, and everybody else would be, you know, in the regular seating, and then up in the...
You guys are in, like, the party VIP
booth? Up in the balcony there. And it's the balcony. It's open and everything like that. And the cool thing about that was, once again, you could bring, you know, the seating is very luxurious and very, very comfortable. You can bring regular food, beer, and drinks. No children were allowed up there, so it's all adults and everything like that.
That's pretty cool.
It's a nice way to watch a movie, you know. Like I said, double the ticket price. It's not something you did every day, but if you wanted to make a movie a bit of an event, it was something you did.
Didn't they have, like, VIP booths at the Texas back in the day?
Yeah, but you know what I think that was for? It was for the gamblers and stuff.
Yeah, for the high rollers.
I don't recall anybody, you know, I don't recall ever being able to purchase or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like
party booth or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think it was more like for you know, because in the casinos, they try and comp everybody whatever they can comp them. So.
Right.
The whales.
The whales, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The high rollers.
So we look forward to that. I'm hoping to be open by the end of the year.
That'd be cool.
That's exciting.
Like I said, I can't imagine us doing it every day, but it'd be something nice to try every once in a while.
Definitely. Like to see them do like little... like they have at the Palms before, where they do like little Hollywood premieres, and they have like the first showing of a world premiere movie there, that kind of thing. That'd
right.
be cool.
Yeah,
that'd be
cool.
I'd love to see that.
Okay, we watched this past week Persepolis, which is an animated film based on a graphic novel by Marjane Satrapi. It's like her autobiography.
Yeah, that was actually the main character, Marjane, right?
Marjane,
yeah.
She grew up in Iraq and
Iran.
She grew up in Iran and moved to France for a bit of time
as a teenager
in other parts of Europe.
She didn't go to France. She went to a French school in Iran, and
She ended up in Paris for a while.
Yeah, she was in Paris.
No, that was she went to like Denmark or something like that. Amsterdam.
She ended up in Amsterdam.
I think so.
Huh.
Oh gosh, maybe I was watching a different movie. Maybe I was in Amsterdam.
No, she's right. She went to Vienna.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
You know, I keep saying Paris because it starts off in that Paris airport.
Right.
That's what it keeps throwing me off.
That's where she went to.
That's where she ended up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because okay. She couldn't stay in Iran anymore. I think that's. Ugh.
No, because of the Islamic Revolution, her parents sent her off to Vienna and she went
Taliban.
To school there. Yep. Taliban types. I don't think it was Taliban.
No, it was the Ayatollah and that whole thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Because
they start off talking about the Shah and stuff.
Yeah, you're
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, this. I mean, she's a little child when the Shah is getting overthrown and all that.
Yeah. And ironically, she has relatives related to the Shah.
Yep.
So it's told in French. We had on the English language for a while, but the subtitles were white against. I mean, the animation is a black and white style, almost all black and white. And the subtitles being white, they're a little hard to read against the white background.
Yeah.
So we changed it back to English language and watched it that way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too bad.
It was okay. I mean, we normally like to watch it in its native language and then read it with the subtitles. But, yeah, it was really difficult to read that way. I mean, maybe if we chose a different aspect ratio or something to where we could have gotten some bars or something. I don't know.
Maybe so.
The animation was beautiful in this movie.
Yeah, beautifully. Yeah.
Right. It was nominated for Best Animated Feature last year. It lost to Ratatouille, which is not a bad movie to lose to. But I think if more people were open to seeing foreign films, the whole time of watching this movie when we were watching it in French, I'm thinking John needs to be watching this because it was a very good movie.
It's a great movie. A really great movie.
Told this girl's story. I mean, when she was a little girl, she grew up, and how they started. It explained a lot of the Islamic culture, even to this day.
Yeah.
Right.
The conservative Islamic fundamentalists and how they are.
Yeah, so. and how everyday people. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Everybody, you know, there's a big misconception in this country about if you're Islam, you're radical and you want to kill everybody.
Yeah,
and it's and they're not like that.
No.
You know,
no.
Most of the people in Iran and Iraq, they just want to live their lives like us. They just want to go feed their kids, watch a movie, screw around with each other, and have you know, and live a quiet life. You know,
exactly.
Just like here, you know, people
exactly.
The more these movies get released like this and, you know, The Namesake and Kite Runner, where you see people just trying to live their lives among the few, the minorities that want to make noise. And
just like we have Christians here blowing up abortion clinics and bombing Oklahoma City.
Exactly.
And, you know, the same thing. You got extremists in every religion around the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love this movie. I love the story because it tells the aspects of this young girl or this woman, you know, her biography of growing up. You know, shows all the growing pains of growing up, and even more so in the different culture than what, you know, people are used to seeing, and all the challenges because she's going back and forth in different cultures and all that. And
there's a point where she's really trying to escape her culture, and then she realizes she wants to embrace it.
Yeah, it's painful.
But as much as she wants to, she really can't, and it makes her, it puts her life in danger. I mean, it literally puts her life in danger.
Yep.
I mean, that's terrifying.
Yep, and you think of women in the Middle East, and it wasn't always like that for them, and then all of a sudden they're all very oppressed.
Yes.
Where they're not allowed to go out in public without, you know, being totally covered up, can't show any hair, can't show this, can't show that. You know, you can't have any kind of fundamental beliefs or anything like that.
Talking about the collar being open to see the neckline.
Yeah,
all of it.
So then she leaves and goes to Vienna, where now she's free, and she lives it up.
Yeah.
She does. Yeah.
And it was getting a little touchy there. It's a PG-13 rated movie.
Yeah.
And it was getting a little strong there with our 12-year-old watching, but she got it okay.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Marjane Satrapi, like I said, based on her graphic novel. This was her first writing credit of a movie, and directed by Vincent Perrinaud, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. I apologize if not, Vinny. Email us at podcast. Email us at podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. Let us know how to pronounce your name.
I'm sure. Yeah, you can also email him on the topic of him calling you Vinny. I'm sure you'll love that one.
But let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you either way.
But this was his first feature film. He's done a couple of short films.
Okay. Yeah, really excellent movie. I mean, and you know, it's not a ridiculous, you know, it, we're talking about some heavy subjects, but it does handle a lot of that with grace and humor. There are very humorous moments, you know. There's that one part where she's running late somewhere and she gets pulled over by the local, whatever, the local thought police guys. And they're like, you know, when you run, your bottom jiggles. And it's like, it's distracting. Well, quit staring at it. She tells him that and runs off.
Oh, you know, Jesus. Just, you know, that had to take some guts, too.
You know, exactly.
Yeah. And love that.
Just, yeah, you know, so there are, you know, yeah, it's it. There are some very amusing moments and some very
this is a very smart.
Sweet. It's really, yeah, it's really well written, and the art is amazing.
It really is. Yeah.
And really matches the graphic novel. We picked it up at the store the other day, and actually at the library, and we've been looking through that because it has more than the movie can show, of course. The movie can only show so much.
Yeah.
And the voice characters were all very good, too. Catherine Deneuve plays the mom, and then Danielle Dario plays the grandma, and these are all French actresses.
Right,
Chiara Mastroianni.
Well, we didn't get much experience with their voices. Very little, you know. Like I said, about 10 minutes into it, we switched.
Well, I was hoping like even Catherine Deneuve would do an English language voice on her. No,
I don't think so. No, I'm pretty sure those were different voices. Yeah, like I said,
I'm disappointed.
I mean, the people that the American actors that dubbed it did a fine job. Didn't take away anything from it. But I would still like to see it, you know, one day, you know, with the subtitles under the picture so I can actually read them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great
movie.
But,
you know, overall, very good movie, enthusiastic 4 stars.
Same for me.
I agree.
The next movie we saw was The Contract, which I believe was a straight-to-video film starring Morgan Freeman, John Cusack.
Yeah, that's about it. Morgan Freeman and John Cusack. If you can name anybody else in that without looking at IMDb, I'll be impressed.
Oh, no. No.
I didn't think so.
But then we have...
All I could say would be that chick from... the chick that played the Borg Queen in First Contact. That's the... You know, I don't even know her name.
Was she the main girl?
She was the FBI... The FBI lady.
Oh, that's that chick from Ghost, whatever. Yeah. That's a weird lady,
she's
man.
She's a weird-looking chick, huh?
Yeah. She's always been off.
Oh, and she was in Sleepwalkers. That was the first thing, probably the first thing anybody saw her in here in the States was Sleepwalkers. She was the mother in Sleepwalkers.
Ah, she was in this movie back in like 1983. And it was Ghost something. And I remember watching it and she like melts in the car and stuff. She plays a... Oh. I remember reading the book. It's a... who is that guy? There was Stephen King for the longest time and then the other guy.
Koontz?
Yeah.
Dean Koontz,
yeah. And then there's Peter Stryber or whatever the other guy
Straub.
Straub, yeah. It was a Peter Straub book.
Well, that was Stephen King. Peter Straub was Stephen King.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes 100% sense. That
sounds probably why he sounds so much like him, yeah. But
Alice Creege.
That's her.
That's her, yeah.
Yeah.
She was in Deadwood also.
Yes, she was.
She played a whore?
She played a whore madam, yes.
There you go. That's perfect.
Yeah. But, that's the only other person I really recognized. So,
this is directed by Bruce Beresford, who directed Double Jeopardy, Driving Miss Daisy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I gotta tell you first.
He likes Morgan Freeman, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, apparently they like working together. I gotta tell you, for a straight-to-DVD release, I wasn't expecting much, and I actually had a good time.
I enjoyed it a bit, too.
Sucked.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I had fun watching it. Okay, so John Cusack is a gym teacher / ex-cop, and following the death of his wife, I believe, to some kind of cancer, his son's having problems, so he decides to take him out to go camping.
Camping trip.
Let's
do some male bonding.
We'll do some male bonding, exactly. Well, while that's going on, Morgan Freeman and he's a vanished CIA spook, and his little group of mercenaries are in the middle of doing some dastardly deed for money. And Morgan Freeman actually gets hurt in an automobile accident, and they find a gun on him, and they find out that he's been supposedly dead for a number of years, and so he's of interest. And so while John Cusack is starting this reconnecting with his son camping trip, Morgan Freeman is in the middle of being rescued by his fellow mercenaries while he's being transported to D.C. to face whatever charges he's going to face.
And the hijinks ensue. Oh, Jesus.
This is a basic run through the forest, try to get away from the killers.
Exactly. Basically, yeah. Basically, somehow they end up with the drop on Morgan Freeman, and they're kind of leading him out of the woods at gunpoint, but his mercenary buddies are hot on their trail. And so it's will he make it, Betty don't type stuff.
I wrote some notes on this movie somewhere, and I can't find my notebook. I don't know. I must have misplaced it. But, I can't even remember the bad shit I wrote in my notebook about this movie. But I watched it enough, so I think I gave it 2 stars. Wow. In my notebook.
Solid 4 for me. I liked it quite a bit.
Oh, Jesus.
3. I gave it a 3. I had a good time. Like I said, I wasn't expecting much, but I had a good time.
That's a hokey-ass movie.
Is that I did not expect a lot also, but it came through. It was in stars.
Maybe I'm the only one here that maybe expected something out of Morgan Freeman and John Cusack, and come on. I don't know. This movie, it was very hokey. It had a lot of hoke to it, too.
But see, now Morgan Freeman, you're right. He didn't do anything spectacular. He played Morgan Freeman, but a bad guy, which he does not often do.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think we watched the special features where he said he took this role so that he could play a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
John Cusack, how often do you see him in an action type of role? Yeah. Not very. And he needs to do something. Poor John Cusack, he keeps taking these roles for the paycheck, which I guess this could be considered one, but.
I know Mr. Serendipity Must Love Dogs guy. I mean, how many romantic comedies can this guy do?
He should be a huge romantic comedy star because both those movies are very good. Serendipity is one of my all-time favorite movies. Love that movie. And then Grace Is Gone from last year.
Yeah.
We talked about it not too long ago. A great movie. Very good movie. And these are movies that he should be taking instead of, I'll give you Must Love Dogs, not the greatest in the world, but what's the American Sweethearts, that should have been a breakout role. I don't know what happened with that movie. John Cusack should be a much bigger star than he is.
How about that one we watched where, was it like a hotel room?
Vacancy.
Yeah.
That had John Cusack in it?
Was that John Cusack?
No, not Vacancy.
Oh, John Cusack was in Identity.
Identity. That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, that was really good.
Who was in Vacancy?
Was David Arquette. No. Luke Wilson?
Luke Wilson and the vampire chick,
Kate Beckinsale. That's why I was, I was thinking he was in because Beckinsale, who was in Serendipity.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was putting them together again.
There you go.
Yeah. So
6 degrees of
Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
Only need one. Yeah. I didn't even like those vampire movies, but she looked good.
She's a hottie.
Yes, I like Kate Beckinsale.
Since you mentioned hottie, here in this movie you had Megan Dodds, who's okay looking. There was a brief nude scene, not her, for those that care, the body double.
I don't even know who she is. Oh, she was the
girl they found in the forest.
The girl they found in the forest with the feminine guy.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So, otherwise, contract, well worth watching, I think.
Yeah. It's there. If it's there in the rental bin, grab it, man.
Yep. Okay. That'll wrap it up.
You could always go to the library and get it for free.
There you go. Don't give them any money. Go to the library and rent it for free.
Get your tax-paying dollars at work there.
Well, with that, have a good night.
Thank you. Say we'll be right back. You ain't right. Yeah. I was watching Mad TV last night with the kids. Uh-huh. And they had these guys who were doing a video game green screen. They were filming for like WoW or something like that. Like that kind of a game, right. You know. So they had the Asian guy and the other guy, the Hindu guy, I guess he is. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've watched Mad TV.
Right.
So the guy's got his green suit on and all his little electrodes. Tell him, okay, you now have somebody stabbing you in the back, right in your back. So he juts his butt out in the air like this, arches his back really hard. And they're like, yeah, he's just stabbing the hell out of you. He's just pounding the hell out of you. He's like, oh, oh, ow, 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 like this. And then he says, and then you've got something like elf blood. He says, you got elf blood bleeding on you from over here and elf blood bleeding on you from over here. And you have to lick up the elf blood because it's good for you. So he's going,
oh,
Jesus. Oh, my God. It was so stupid. So then they had a partner come in. And,
oh, God.
And I was like, oh, Jesus. It looks like they're doing a porn show.
Oh, man.
It was
That's
funny. It was one of those had to be there moments because I'm not very descriptive. I can't describe things very well.
I kind of, yeah, I get the idea. It's pretty funny.